Joined now by Northfield Chief of Police Jeff Schrepfer. Good morning, Chief. How you doing?
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful morning here.
Well, if you wanted your white Christmas,
you got it.
Here it goes.
I like a white Christmas, so yeah, I'll take this.
We have delivered. So
good work.
it's thank you very much. We try. This is timely. A timely visit from the Chief of Police because. With this kind of winter weather comes all sorts of stuff, and I want to ask you about safe driving. I want to talk to you about just sort of winter preparation stuff. But first, can we talk about snow emergency, the snow in the city of Northfield, and how does that all work?
Absolutely. So as you can imagine, there was conversation yesterday and an email conversation amongst city staff as well about okay, depending how much snow we get and get into a snow emergency, which I think we can all look out the window and realize now that we're going to be there.
Yeah.
So so it becomes so important for when we get into snow emergency just to keep the roads clear for the streets to be plowed and make room for those plows and stay away from the plows. But they can't be as efficient as they are if the streets have cars parked on them, if there's other objects they have to work around kind of thing. So please help out the streets department by keeping the roads clear. The last thing we want to do is follow along a snowplow and start towing cars or go ahead of snowplows and tow cars.
No.
It gets time consuming for all of us. And ultimately, it does slow down the streets department by clearing the road.
Right, exactly. You want your streets plowed, don't park in the street.
Exactly.
The snow emergency has not been declared yet. It will be declared at some point today. And then you cannot park on city streets, unplowed city streets, and you cannot park in public parking lots that are unplowed, as I understand it.
Correct.
But once they're plowed, is that allowable, or do
until we get into the overnight hours?
Okay. And the overnight hours are
2 to 6.
2 to 6. So. All right. So it's not like you're talking about 4 hours, folks. Yep. I mean, you can find a place to put your car for 4 hours. It's not like we're in St. Paul or Minneapolis where there's just nowhere to put your car.
Right. And actually, while we're on that topic, I was just checking the weather website again. We have been upgraded from an advisory to a winter storm warning, which just means that it's for sure happening. And conditions are going to be a little bit more intense than we thought. We are looking at 5 to 7 inches projected snowfall and wind gusts as high as 35 miles per hour. So seriously, take your time today. Travel is just probably not a good idea if you can avoid it. So
I've never been so happy to already have my car in the shop.
Yeah.
And this is as long as it's not in the body shop.
Yeah,
exactly.
This is more so for southwestern and central-ish Minnesota. So we are included in that along with Gaylord, Le Sueur, that's the cities themselves. Renville, Sibley, Le Sueur, Nicolet, and Goodhue counties and Rice County as well. Okay. So there you go.
Okay, cool. What do you want to tell folks about getting in their car right now?
So a couple things. As I said, driving down here a conversation before we got on the air about driving down here this morning, and it's tough. The visibility is poor. The snow is very light, so it's hard to see. So it's a matter of you meet traffic and they're kicking up snow and your own vehicle's kicking up snow. So it's that real difficult time of driving too. You have the person that wants to drive 20 in a 55 zone, and you have the person that wants to drive 60.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's that difficult. Which one is more dangerous?
Yeah.
It's hard to say sometimes because, you know, a lot of times the people say the one going faster is more dangerous, which is most of the time true. However, on the other side of it, if you have that one going 20, that in snow conditions like this, it's hard to see behind them.
Right.
They come up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And you're not going to see them. So now are you going to have those rear end type crashes?
You know, and I'm curious too, in your experience, have you seen, because I think sometimes people get a little bit too confident when they have like larger trucks, larger SUVs, four wheel drive, these types of things. And they're like, oh, no, I'll be fine. I got four wheel drive. Yeah, I got this, that.
Yeah.
That just doesn't, I mean, at a certain point, that just doesn't factor in anymore, right? Like it's still risky.
Four wheel drive basically means that you may be able to accelerate faster because you have four wheels giving that traction and forward propelling you.
Mm-hmm.
But four wheel drive doesn't mean anything for braking, doesn't mean anything for steering per se, especially if you're braking at the same time. It's just four wheels on the ground is 4.4 points of contact for traction, so it doesn't matter if it's four-wheel drive or not, with the exception of acceleration.
Yeah, sure. After you go in the ditch, it just means it might be a little bit easier for you to get it out of the ditch, but you can't use four wheels if your car's upside down.
Exactly.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or four-wheel drive means you get stuck worse in the
ditch. Right, so. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I just feel like people get under those illusions, and they're like, oh, no, I got great tires, I got this, and it's like, that only goes so far.
Exactly, yeah. So the biggest thing on days like today is just slow down. Pay attention, stay off your phone every day, but it's big in days today. Like this. So
yeah. Do you get, I try to keep certain things in my car, for days like today, just in case, you know, we get walloped and suddenly I'm in a snowdrift and I'm going to be stuck there for 2 days. Right. Extra gloves, a pair of boots and all that. So what are the emergency things that people should keep in their car?
So, first, the most important thing to keep in your car is your body. Oh. So, wear your seatbelt.
Okay. That's good.
That's the first thing I'll start with.
I like that. That's a good soundbite right there.
I have a tale of woe to tell you about not wearing my seatbelt someday. I was reminded of that yesterday. But wear your seatbelt, folks. That's all I have to tell you.
Yeah. So, wear your seatbelt. But then you get from there, it's start planning for, hey, if I get stranded on a day like today, how am I going to survive?
Right.
So it's that warm clothing. In my vehicle, I have hand warmers included. So warm clothing, the hats, the gloves, if you want a blanket or anything like that, absolutely. So,
yeah.
And just even things like keeping your cell phone charged in case you need to use it, or keeping that cord pending your vehicle status if it's dead or stuck or that kind of thing. So, but then I'll even go into, if you do get stuck, you do end up in a snowbank and you're sitting there waiting for a tow truck or somebody to come get you, make sure you clean the snow away from your exhaust pipe. So if that starts getting plugged, that gas is going to come into the car. So
The CO2 will back up and don't do that. Yep.
But I don't get out. I don't recommend getting out and take off for a walk. Every year, it seems, in some part of Minnesota, we have that person walk away from getting stuck, and they end up succumbing to the elements then.
Yeah, every year, maybe it was 2 years ago, there was somebody they found right outside of the exit at Elko, and it's just tragic to hear about those things. So. Yep. All right, so everyone, just slow down. Give yourself some extra time. If you can work from home today, that's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
and be safe. All right. In keeping with the season, Chief, we got the great Christmas tree caper.
The Grinch of Northfield.
What a reprehensible human being. I'm just going to say, I don't care who you are. Shame on you.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's just the big question that we all want to know is why.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to do it how they did, whether it's one or multiple people, and then you just leave it. I mean, just what are you trying to prove with something like that?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Unfortunately, there's no cameras in Bridgetown Square, and none of the businesses around it even have anything either, so you really just have no idea.
Yeah, we're doing what we can and you know, looking for information. Mm-hmm. People talk. We know that, so I'm confident eventually we'll find those responsible for it, and then we'll figure it out from there where we move forward in that process. Yeah. But at the end of the day, yes, it's a crime. Some people may look at it as like, oh, it's not a big deal. It's like, it's not so much about the committing the crime itself, but what that tree meant to the community, what that tree means to the visitors of the community, and just the iconicness of where that tree was cut down, you know, in Bridge Square.
So. Right.
Yeah, very public spot. And it's just, I don't know. Like, I will say I was very impressed at how quickly not only did folks get it back up, but redecorated and put back together for winter walks. So I'm trying to focus more on that part of it, you know, but still, it's just stupid.
Which shows you how much that tree means to the community.
Right. It really does.
Put back.
I gotta tell you, I'm actually a little surprised at how angry it made me. Like, I was irate about it. And it does. Because it's, well, you know, I mean, all three of us, we love this town. We love this town. Mm-hmm. And that's just disrespecting Northfield by taking that thing out. Mm-hmm. A buddy of mine texted me and he said, whoever did that should get like 100 community hours. And I said, yeah, they should get 100 community hours planting trees. Yeah.
That, you know? I was just going to say, like, it should totally be a community
but
service.
But Jane,
thing.
Actually, Jane yeah. Bartho, the president of the chamber, had a better idea. They should have to do their community service by decorating the Christmas tree every year.
I like that. Yep. There you go.
anyway, I'm sure that you'll keep us updated on developments as they.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if anybody has information about it, please reach out to our office, either call or they can go onto the city website and email their tips as well through the city website.
Okay. There you go.
Drones have been a topic of conversation in the news, like the weird drones all over the country. But are we having any situations here in North? I think it's aliens. So, like, are the green guys coming to Northfield? Is that
you know,
happening?
Last time I was here, we talked about the boogeyman, and now it's aliens. So it's interesting where we go each time.
next month, it's going to be the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah. There you go. So I leave that morning, or I get up that morning, and I get a text message from my neighbor, who's also an officer, and it's a news story about drones, and it's New Jersey, New York, and Northfield, Minnesota. It just threw me off when I saw it.
Like, wait, what?
So it's been interesting. As a department, we've had multiple calls on different things. So I don't know if it's a combination of, is it aliens? Is it UFOs? Is it drones? What is it kind of thing? So we have been getting some calls and suspicious sightings. But it's also one of those things, too, where I think human nature with some people when it's initially reported and they hear, then they're taking their personal drones and they're flying those to try and cause a little uneasiness as well. So
I know a couple of drone pilots here in town. One of them, Tim Freeland, he's a photographer and he's great about getting aerial footage of when there's a flood or when there's winter walk I would imagine he'll at some point after the storm, he'll have his drone up there getting some good pictures of, you know, under Northfield under 12 feet of snow. But he's a super responsible guy when it comes to that stuff. And it never even occurred to me. I don't know why it didn't, but like you can be completely irresponsible with a drone. Can't you?
Absolutely. So it's interesting in the world of drones, the licensing difference. So I'm actually a licensed drone pilot myself. So it's on the license side, on the, if you want to call it government side or the commercial side of drones, there's so many restrictions of them. But those don't apply to the private side. If you get a drone for Christmas and want to go fly it, I mean, there's different rules and regulations that apply. So it's just, at the end of the day, just respect people's privacy with it. And,
please.
You know, it's for some people, it's just going to drive them crazy, and I get it.
Yeah.
So I totally understand.
Who is the governing body for licensing and all that?
So it's with the FAA as well.
Okay,
so
that's what I figured, yeah.
So all right. So it's very difficult for us as an agency to narrow down whose drone that is, you know, who's operating it. So I can tell you one thing, it's not the police department watching over people. So, so some of the reports we've gotten are pretty big drones as well. So
I feel like it's like whenever you get these new technologies coming out that people really latch onto like this, it's just, it takes a while to kind of figure out like, okay, what are going to be the rules here and who's going to be able to do what? And
I think it's an ever-changing thing because now, come Christmas time, everybody's going to get drones, or more people will get drones again.
Keep
compounding. So,
And I mean, you have to have a license to like fly your drone over like populated areas and think you. I mean, but you have to have the license, but that doesn't mean people without a license aren't going
to
do it.
So if you're commercial, you have to have the license to do it. If you're a private citizen, you don't need a license. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's
I didn't realize
that's the distinguishing factor. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So. All right. Well, that's okay. Good. People with drones, please be responsible.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Next month, we are going to have a new president who is going to institute quite a few new policies. One of those policies is going to affect undocumented people, and what he's promising is mass deportations. You're getting some questions about that, aren't you?
Absolutely. And so I've had multiple questions on it, emails on it, and I'm very happy to answer those or have a have the contact with the community and explain our stance on it as a police department. And in short, our stance as a police department is we're not getting involved.
Okay.
We have nothing to do that. We're not getting involved. We have policies against getting involved. So it's not up to the police department, and I don't want my staff involved in any of that. So we're not in the deportation business as the Northfield Police Department. So hopefully our residents and visitors here can feel comfortable and safe around us. If they have questions, please reach out. I'm more than willing to just go to the different community organizations and have the same conversation. But yes, we will not be involved in any deportation stuff as the Northfield Police Department.
This might be kind of a tough question. And I'm not, because I don't know. And if you don't want to answer this, I understand. But as a law enforcement officer, if you come in contact with someone who is somehow shown to be undocumented, what is your responsibility there?
Essentially, we handle it as a police department, and most agencies in Minnesota would be the same, is that I would treat it just the same as anybody else.
Okay.
So even if I'm arresting you for, say, a misdemeanor level offense, like a DWI or something like that, we don't notify immigration. We don't handle it any different. So there's nothing done. There's not like I'm making a phone call and notifying immigration that, hey, we arrested them. The only exception would be that is violent crimes.
Sure.
So,
I know there's some nervous people out there. So it's this is a good topic to just broach real quick. That's thanks for that. Monday the 23rd, 2 days before Christmas. We were hoping really to KYMN is going to be ringing the bell for the Salvation Army at Family Fair. We were really hoping to have a little friendly competition with the Northfield Police Department, but you guys have something else going on. So it's
unfortunately, I mean, so on December 23rd.
God, I said November 23rd, too. December 23rd.
Did you say November? Okay. Yeah. It's catchy, I guess. So December 23rd, the police department's going to be at Family Fair blocking the road so nobody can get in there. Because we, as the police department, are going to be at Cub Foods.
There's an emergency going on.
So you guys are going to be at a Cub.
Yes. So the police department will be at Cub all day long, bell ringing for the Salvation Army. It's actually a friendly competition between us and the sheriff's office as well. Mm-hmm. They were here last week at Family Fair.
Yep.
I don't know what amount of money they raised, but we'll beat it either way.
Of course you will. So,
but yeah, it's friendly competition for a great cause. Yep. And no matter, we'll have the competition with you as well that same day. And
sure.
Either way, I mean, the Salvation Army is a great organization and does great things. So please, if people would be willing to come out and donate, if they need help getting to Cub, we'll help them with that instead of Family Fair. Or we might have to just sit outside Family Fair with a squad car. But
you know, you can go give your money to a cop, or you can get an autograph from Ryan Foley.
At Family Fair. Is the cooler thing.
Yeah. I'm not 100% convinced on that one. You can see meet Wendy.
I would be more enticed to be like, yeah, I'm gonna go see the police. Bye. I'm not as cool.
Chief, is there anything else we need to talk about?
Nope. Just like I'll go back to where we started with keeping an eye on the weather, and there'll be news releases coming out from the city as far as snow emergency. Just so pay attention to that. Please help keep the streets clear and the city safe.
Oh, you know, before you go, because we were talking about this yesterday, do you have a Christmas song that just totally makes you want to turn the dial and be like, nope?
You're probably not going to like my answer. Oh, that's most Christmas songs.
Really? Oh, really? Okay. So Christmas music, you're just out.
I'm kind of my wife and kids call me a Scrooge, so.
How do you feel about Christmas trees in Bridge Square, Chief?
Yeah, it was not me, so. But I'm glad you brought it up. Everybody's suspect, especially Scrooges and Grinches.
Right.
So. Okay. That's funny.
All right.
Well, there you go.
Chief Jeff Shepard, thank you so much for being here. Yeah.